Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To two black girls, two white girls, and a rose.
We're two black ass girls and two white girls we love invade the whitest show on earth.
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
I'm Natasha.
That was very white.
No timing, not on time.
I am very white.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And I'm Geneva.
I'm Justine, number two.
Yay! So excited, everybody. We have our friends Geneva and Justine from Escape to Reality, which is an awesome podcast that you guys should all be listening to. Mm-hmm. They are on the line with us, yeah. And we're so excited to be here. How are y'all feeling?
Thanks for having us. We're excited.
Yes. So if you guys don't already know, a couple weeks ago, we were on their podcast, on their recap for 90 Day Fiancé.
That was so fun.
Such a good time, because that show is just trash.
We missed that show already.
Wait, side note, did you guys know that because of the government shutdown, that show has been delayed?
We did, what? Yeah, we did. Yes. Because of the visas and everything, I know.
Yes, because the visas aren't coming through.
Yeah, visas are all delayed.
Their love is being drawn out.
Some things are important.
They're so heartbroken. I know.
Right. Well, we're very excited to have Geneva and Justine here. We have two Justines, so we're going to refer to two black girls, Justine, as Justine, and our fellow Justine as JT, so we don't get confused.
Justin Timberlake.
Yes. Super excited to hear you guys' thoughts, because you guys recap a lot of different reality shows, but you don't recap The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. The Bachelor is its own beast.
Yes. It's literally, like, I was thinking about this, like, the one reality show I do not watch. Like, of all...
You watch a lot of
I kicked the habit.
Like, literally... Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited. It was good to force myself into it.
So we open up every episode with just our initial thoughts. So Justine, take it away.
So my first note. The dads on this hometowns episode were phenomenal.
They were pretty good.
They were really good. I have never seen a guy get two no's for such realistic reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, do you have permission to marry my daughter? I don't know you. No. You don't.
They have a brain. Like,
that's true. That is rare. They usually
rare.
Just step in and like, yeah, sure, you can have permission, but not this time around. They were not having it with Colton.
So that always happens. They ask every one of the four if they can marry their daughter.
It's so sick.
Yes, mm-hmm. That is a tradition on The Bachelor.
It's sick. It's very sick.
Wait. And on The Bachelorette, don't they have the dads at the guys ask the dad? So there's like
when
three dudes asking the dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is just the tradition. They got to get permission. They got to do the whole, fairy tale, whatever, foolishness. Mm-hmm. True Bachelor form. But yeah, the dads this time did not disappoint.
They did not disappoint, yep. And mm-hmm. Colton getting two no's, another record from him also having three bitches leave voluntarily. So, setting records, Colton, setting records. What about you, Tash? What do you think?
Oh my God. I want to hear from Geneva or JT. What do y'all think?
Okay, I have three initial thoughts. One is, there was a line that I feel like summed up the entire Bachelor franchise that just really stuck with me. One of the dads said he can't microwave a relationship, which I just feel like, is this show like tied up in a bow? And it's like, when they were literally like, it's been a good month. I'm like, what the hell? A month? And you guys, it's just like,
you hear yourself.
It blows my mind. My other initial thought, because I haven't watched the show this season at all, is like Colton, I think, needs to take like a kissing class, like where he kisses, like, you know, like when you're five and they're like, this is what you do, like on an orange or something. Like, he needs that. I feel like he literally needs a kiss. It makes me uncomfortable watching him. Oh, it's so gross
hearing it. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like gross. Yeah. Like, ugh, it creeps me out. Those are my thoughts.
That's funny. He doesn't have a lot of experience.
No. Well, that's so evident.
Throw him a bone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell immediately. JT, what do you think? Initial thoughts.
I loved how when they're all sitting there and they're like, in the middle, they all have to go talk each time to their mom and their dad. It's just so awkward, and it's just so, the whole show is just so unnatural. It just gets creepy. I don't know. It's
creepy.
And then when they're looking in the eye of all these dads, and then they know they're going to lie to them, it's just so nasty. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And I wish the show would just be a little less produced and let it be a little more organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I love your two descriptors, though. Creepy and unnatural. Like, But so true. Very
it's
true.
Like they're like at a meal and it's like, you want to go chat? And they like go into an awkward bedroom. It's like, this is not like in the middle of dinner. No one has eaten. That was also bothering me. No one got to finish a plate.
Yeah. How long are they there for? And how are you feeling about this? It's crazy. How are you feeling? And I love him so much. Feelings, yeah. They have these smiles that I've never had on my whole life. It's really wild to see.
Like, this is a new emotion. What is this?
I love him so much. Oh, we're going to have kids. I'm 23. I'm ready to have a kid. And, I just graduated college.
Right. God, don't even get us started on the age. Like, we've literally
so young.
My initial thoughts: another week of Colton making zero moves. Justine and I have to just scrap that whole segment because he hasn't been doing shit this whole season. Other thoughts: Colton, I mean, he just looks absolutely ridiculous asking fathers for permission to marry their daughters when he so clearly is not ready for marriage.
No.
It was just like he was like in the bachelor machine, just like going with through the motions and just forcing him to go through this process of asking for a hand in marriage when he looked uncomfortable even asking for permission.
He looks like a pussy.
He did.
Like, just overall.
Just put on up there.
I'm sorry, but it's like, I would, like, as a father, I can just imagine, like, my dad would, well, A, my parents would be like, what the hell is happening here? But, like, they would just be, like, laughing, because it's laughable. It's very.
It is. Yeah. It is. 6 weeks.
Yeah, he's an infant. The girls the are even younger. It's it's pretty bad. I think this season more than any, particularly watching the hometowns, this season more than any has made the proposal at the ending just seem like a joke.
So ridiculous.
It just feels dumb. Like, I would say of the four girls who are left, if Colton was like a fully formed adult human who was like truly looking for a wife, which we don't believe he is, but if he was, I would say that Tasia would be his best choice.
Yeah.
Because she's been through a divorce. She's older. She's not playing any games. I feel like she's mature enough that she can help him grow. But he's so attracted to Cassie, who's like fully playing him 100%. Out. 100%.
Kaylin. Yeah, she is.
Kaylin just seems kind of dubious after last week, her motives and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Hannah G looks like a 12-year-old, and I still, to this day, have no idea who she is. We've learned nothing about her.
Yeah, no.
She totally seems 12. I think Cassie also, like, I just feel like Colton's being such a typical dude by going after the chick that clearly doesn't give two fucks about him. Like, Cassie could care less.
Yeah, right.
Is not into him at all, and because she's, like, hot and kind of, like, you know, confident, whatever, he's just going to trail after her to the end of time. And, like, she has no interest. She doesn't want to get married.
She's fighting with her dad. Oh, my gosh.
Know what you can't have.
Right, exactly.
Like, yelling at her dad.
Classic example. Yeah. But before we get into the recap, we do want to dig into our special guests first, Geneva and Justine. So tell us all about your podcast, Escape to Reality. Do the little plug. What's it about?
Well, let's see. So we started off talking. Well, so we love all things Bravo. So like anything on Bravo, we watch shamelessly. So we do a lot of Bravo recaps. But we've really been diving into the super trash side of reality TV, which has been a joy. So super trash. So 90 Day Fiance and Love After Lockup is our newest obsession, which is
the best. The best. The best.
And incredible. We found a real niche for kind of talking about that kind of stuff. And then obviously we love celeb gossip, and Justine takes us all over the place with her crazy mind with the celeb gossip. So we kind of focus on most of those things, and literally probably the only show you'll never hear us talk about is The Bachelor other than this. So we won't be in your lane. Don't you worry.
We still have enough time in our life. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So tell me, or tell the world, like, who is Justine and Geneva? How did y'all meet? How did you decide to do a podcast? Like, what's your vibe? What's your dynamic?
Justine, you tell us.
We met working together at a retirement planning company for old people, and it was a wild
first job
place
after
to work
college.
At. Geneva
was
and I would eat lunch together every day and just talk each other's ears off, and then we just stayed in touch and would always text each other and call each other. And then one day we decided to start the podcast, and
it's like you're seen inside of our text thread. We essentially just would text each other 24/7 about everything. Like I could text her a code, like, did you see the picture of baby blah blah, like, not even put the name. She'd be like, oh yeah, I know exactly. And she knows, like, the Kardashian baby or like so we took it.
We're like obsessed with pop culture.
So you guys are like pop culture historians.
I would say, like, if we did Jeopardy, like we did like a celeb Jeopardy together, we would probably win $1 million. And Justine's the crazy one. You never know what she's gonna say. And back in our heyday out at the bars,
Geneva's crazy. She just hides it better.
At the heyday back at the bars, Justine was somebody you'd have to watch, and would get us into a lot of trouble saying vulgar things.
I almost cussed an old man out downstairs getting sued just now. So you never
Justine
know what
Justine doing the name right.
That's right. Yes. He went up to this girl and told her. He told the poor girl that's setting up the dinner down there, oh, you don't look ugly today, like, you have makeup on. And then I couldn't believe he said that to her, so I go to her, I go, you look pretty every day. I go, I'm gonna punch that old man in the face. And then they started. So I don't even know, I thought maybe I heard wrong, but I heard right. It was rude.
Oh my god. One thing I've learned from listening to your podcast is that JT has no filter. Like, literally anything can come out of her mouth.
And she has, like, gotten better over the progression of the podcast. Like, in the beginning, there were so many times where I'd, like, have to text her when I was editing and be like, listen, like, you literally can't.
Reel her back in.
This is a step too far. So if you listen, this is a restrained version of Justine. Yeah,
it's hilarious.
Yes.
Well, we do have some fun questions for you guys. So, Geneva, I know that you cook. Everybody here should know.
Yes.
She be cooking. She be burning, okay?
She's a master chef.
I try.
She's the dream wife.
Pretty much. So you have to cook a meal.
I'm the nightmare.
For the Obamas.
Yes.
What do you cook? Appetizer, main course, and dessert.
So I've really, like, I've literally been thinking about this, and it's, like, a real stressful decision.
You've been thinking about this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, because you guys said that you're going to ask, and I'm like, man, I mean, A, I would have to, like, clarify what's their dietary restrictions.
Yeah.
But I would probably, like, first course, and Tasha doesn't like cheese, but she's tried this. There's this Odalingi, who's this Israeli chef, has this recipe for this garlic tart that's, like, a shit ton of roasted garlic and, like, balsamic and, like, puff pastry. It's just amazing. I would make that as a first course. I would make a short rib for the main course with, like, Brussels sprouts or some kind
short
of, like,
ribs are the best.
Something like that. And dessert, I think I would go, literally, I made this butterscotch pudding recently that was, like, crack with the salted caramel. I may do that. Or if you've ever heard of pavlova, it's like a...
Yes.
Pavlova is, like, one of the best desserts ever. It's, like, Oh, Justine, you've had it because you've been to my parents' house.
Oh my god, like, it is out of control.
It's like pure crack. It's like meringue.
It is the best.
Yeah, it's like a cloud of meringue with like whipped cream, and you can put anything on it, fruit, whatever, and then another meringue and more whipped cream. And it's like anybody who tries it is like, this is.
No, that does no justice. You have to eat it. You could eat the whole thing. Yeah. I'm always looking around for more, and there's never any more.
So good. So I think that's what I would do.
Nice. That also sounds like it all shows very well.
Yeah.
And plated very beautifully.
Yeah, it would be good. And God willing, it happens.
Yeah. Oh my God. Of course.
It will.
Put in the universe.
Positive thinking. Yep.
They're listening.
Yeah.
I just got a text.
JT. How did you get your name? Because my name story is really whack, but hilarious. So how did you get your name?
Oh, mine's the opposite. I think my mom just liked it.
Oh,
that's
really?
It. I think that's it. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm a twin. I have a twin, and they thought it was going to be two girls. They were going to name them Justine and Jenna, but then it was Justine and Peter. That's really.
Oh, okay.
That's
really.
I like how they just abandoned the
name
just Peter.
Yeah.
Well, my mom is a brother named Peter, right. So that's what I
thought.
Now I want to hear your story about Justine, though.
Yeah, what's your name story?
I was baby K for about 2 days. They waited to meet me, and they didn't know what to name me. And they were just watching.
Jane Doe.
I love your parents.
Jane Doe.
And I was 10 pounds in the preemie room because I swallowed some fluid. So I was like, I couldn't even fit in the tub. It was like a lot.
Wow.
It's a rough entry to the world. No name in the preemie room at 10 pounds.
Nameless child struggling.
Nameless 10 pound child, right? That was me. So they were watching the Cosby show one day. Day two. Her name was Justine, and it was the episode where he comes down, Theo, and he's like, Justine, like singing, and they were like, oh, that's a good one. Justine.
Oh, I love it.
That's
a good one. Done. Wow. So tell us, you guys are, as we said, pop culture reality show aficionados.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Losers.
What's one reality show that everyone should be watching right now?
I'd say Love After Lockup.
I would too. Yeah, Love After Lockup.
Agreed.
It's just, if you really, like, the reason why I love reality TV is, like, to be exposed to, like, weird populations. Like, I think that's why I always loved, like, Jersey Shore. Or, like, you know, just, like, really subsects of, like, America where you're like, what in the hell is this?
People you would normally probably never interact with but are so curious about their everyday life.
100%. Like, and so Love After Lockup is just, not only is it pure comedy because these people are such idiots, but it's also, it's just fascinating. We've learned a lot of, like, prison lingo and hustles, and it's good.
And it's new, so it's not very produced, and these people are just free. It's just, you know, they're just, it's real, and it's crazy.
It's good.
It's nuts, yeah.
Yeah,
I thought 90 Day Fiancé was trash. Love After Lockup 100% topped it. I binged all of season two in one day.
I told you.
We're talking about it. And I was stressed out the whole day. Like,
yeah, it does. It's kind of stressful.
Yeah.
So stressful.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Good. That would be the one.
Do you guys have a favorite reality show of all time?
Mine's probably Jersey Shore season one.
I was going to say that too.
Wow.
God, we're meant to be friends.
Jersey Shore season one, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think season one because, like, that was when it was just so pure and they were just talking about hot messes and, like, they weren't famous yet, so they were just doing dumb shit all the time.
Yeah.
But they also, what I also love about Jersey Shore that I still love is that they're, like, friends and that they love each other. Yeah. And so it's, like,
they're family.
Yeah, they're family. I would say Jersey Shore season one. If you haven't watched the early seasons of Jersey Shore in a while, you have to go back. They're like classics.
Like,
so, before their faces change.
What's her name? Snooki. Snooki, day one, got like shit faced and they all hated her.
Yeah. Yes, she almost left.
Yeah.
So, what is your favorite classic reality show moment?
I think we may have the same one. I'm going to see. Mine is Teresa flipping the table, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Constitution
whore!
Engaged 16 times? Like, there's literally nothing better than that. I
mean, classic moment.
Mine's a real different. I wasn't even thinking that. Oh my God. That's so.
What's
that
yours?
That probably is really good. Mine is so weird. It's from season one Survivor.
Oh.
When that lady, her name's Susan, I thought she said it to Richard Hatch, but I looked back and she said it to this girl, Kelly, that she's like, if you were dying on the side of the road and dying of thirst, I'd let the vultures take you and do whatever they wanted with you. And I was just remember thinking, like, holy crap, this is reality TV. Like, here we go. I'm loving this.
Like, what is happening?
That was when you fell in love.
Wow.
I was like, wow.
See, that sums up the darkness that's in Justine's mind right there. That's
like, it was just like this white trash lady came back weeks later and is still holding on, and she just let loose.
Wow. So,
yeah, that's funny. Oh, but Teresa is a class. That is classic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a classic. I never really got into Survivor, but I know there's tons of like classic moments from it, but I just missed that.
I didn't watch a lot of it, but the first couple of seasons, I was into it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you guys could be on any reality show, what would it be?
I don't think I'd want to be on any reality
show. What?
But I think, as a, like, participant, I would be on Top Chef, like, as a judge.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
As a judge? Yeah. Who are you? No, you have to compete.
No? Yeah. That, I mean, come on. Yeah, I guess I would do, like, some kind of, like, food cooking competition show, but, like, I don't ever want to be on reality TV. That's my nightmare.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to be on The Amazing Race, or if they came back with Supermarket Sweep.
Ooh, okay. Supermarket
Sweep. Whenever I forget an item, I'm in the grocery store, and I think in my head, like, oh, this is Supermarket Sweep. You got to find it fast.
Running around dragging your kids, like, oh,
yeah. No, this is when, like, the whole aisle is full already, and I forgot something in my cart, and I leave the aisle. I'm that person who runs around the store the forgotten item. And, like, hold on, I'll be right back.
Oh, my God.
Keep checking out.
I forgot the cream cheese.
Yeah, I don't have the temperament for The Amazing Race. Like, I'm not that competitive. I would just give up.
Do you guys want to know a fun fact? My brother and I
know this.
Yes, yeah. My brother and I submitted a video for Amazing Race.
Crazy.
I'm so
did
surprised.
You?
You
and Dorian?
Yeah, me too.
Me too. I thought we had the perfect little dynamic. Like, our whole thing was like brains versus brawn.
Yeah,
like,
it
I was
good.
Like the, you know, smart one, just graduated from college. She's like the big athlete. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And choose us. So pissed.
Yeah, you would have been good. Yeah.
No.
I think you gotta resubmit.
Right?
Yeah, still salty.
He's too old now.
He'd be right. I'll be dragging his ass. Okay, so tell us a little bit, like, what's your relationship to The Bachelor? Have you guys watched before? Like, what do you know about the show? Did you ever grow up watching it? Like, what do you think?
I have a hate relationship with
Bachelor. Wow.
I literally remember watching one season, and that was Andrew Firestone's season. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why. I think I was in high school. Other than that, like I said, it's like the one reality show that I just haven't been able to tolerate. I think it's like the manufactured nature. Mm-hmm. I do follow, like, I'm on Us, like, say usmagazine.com or whatever. Like, I see a lot of what happens. So, like, I process it from afar, but I don't engage in it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's my relationship.
Oh, man. I watched the very first season, I think, and Trista and her Bachelorette. And then I did watch, I remember, like, really compelled about that Melissa Rycroft was his face, picked the other one, he dropped her, picked Molly, Insta stalked them for a while. And I think I stopped watching with Travis, the guy from The Doctors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe around that types of season, like, religiously. Mm-hmm. But I did watch for a while. I liked Trista, and I liked that first season of The Bachelorette. I think it's interesting to see the girl be the... It seems like it works out better when the girl picks the guy.
Works out way better.
What do you guys think?
Because women are superior to men.
Track record is better. Tis true.
Tis true. Fun fact, Natasha and I looked up the posters, the old, like, advertisements for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah. Wild.
Highly recommend everybody listening, go look up the old advertisements. The ones for Trista, it's her lying down and all of them holding her up, and they're all on her butt. All, like, crazy. It, would
it was,
never
like, so
now.
Problematic. It would never, it would never
so
happen
problematic.
Now. It shows you the progress we've made as as a country.
Well, that's good.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I guess.
I'll check it out.
I mean, hashtag me too, but okay. All right, let's, before we get into the recap, we do have a special, special announcement on next week's episode, which is Fantasy Suites. which is exciting within itself.
We will have a special guest, Ashley Spivey.
Ashley Spivey
will be back on the podcast to help us recap Fantasy Suites. I don't know what the hell is about to go down. Colton and Fantasy Suites, but I'm sure it's going to be juicy. So definitely tune in for that.
Already just thinking about it.
We also say this every week. As always, please rate, review, subscribe. If you like what you hear, you know, give us that little 5 stars. Write us a nice little rating. And for your own convenience, subscribe to us. You can also listen to us on Spotify. Just want to plug that in really quickly. We're listed now apparently under some like Bachelor podcast list. So I haven't been able to find it yet, but look out for that. We're on Spotify. Holla. We also live tweet every week. If you aren't following us on Twitter, you're truly missing out on a very enhanced Bachelor viewing experience. Our Twitter handle is the number 2 BLK girls, the number 1 Rose.
And you can email us at the number 2 black girls, the number 1 Rose @gmail.com. We shout out our emails every week and we love reading the nice long ones. So email us.
Yes. And hit us up on Twitter. No, sorry. Facebook and Instagram. Facebook. Our Instagram is lit. I'm just putting that out there.
It is.
It's pretty damn lit.
You have great content. I enjoy
thank
it.
You, thank you.
Oh, thanks.
So please follow us on Instagram, and our handle is the number 2 black girls, the number 1 Rose. Tag us in your story, screenshot us, share us with the world, all that good shit. All right, should we dive into the recap? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right. So the episode opens up per usual with a shirtless Colton. He is in the shower. She was done already. First opening scene. She's over it. So we got a little bit of, you know, shower action with Colton. He is talking about how he is scared that some of the women are still not ready. And he's now so going scared into hometowns with, you know, some dubious women in the house. Dubious women that he kept around. Let's just put that out there.
Right.
So
yeah,
you could have sent home Kaylin and Cassie is who we're talking about, but okay. First up, first hometown is Kaylin, Miss North Carolina, which was very confusing because she lives in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Is anybody else confused by that?
No, I didn't even
catch
that.
Seemed like a slave owner town.
Yes, it seemed old towny, old time, like, southern.
I think she lived in like a house that used to be on a plantation.
A plantation-y house? Yeah.
That's a wild town. Jesus. Yes.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Weird town.
It was very small town, mid-Atlantic. You know, they used to grow tobacco. Like, you know what I mean? I got the same
vibe.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. But it was weird because she's Miss North Carolina, but she's from Virginia. So that I have many questions. And I'm still waiting for a pageant person to email us. We've been asking all season.
She's got a P.O. box in North Carolina.
Yeah. Right. Right, that's all she represents. So she meets Colton. She calls a taxi, quote-unquote, and driving along comes a horse-drawn carriage that picks them up, and they basically just kind of, like, ride around Fredericksburg for the day. Kaylin says in her confessional, "I do love Colton. We've been through a lot, and I think it's made us so much stronger. I fully believe that he's the one."
I like how she's like, "That's where I got my blood drawn when I was a kid."
Yeah, that was my pediatrician.
It's like the landmarks of Fredericksburg.
Of her life. Not even Fredericksburg, just of Caitlin's life.
Right. The milestones. So they stop for ice cream. She does the whole little cliche, like, shove the ice cream in his face.
Oh my God.
They finally sit and chat, and
she's a good actress.
He asks, like, you know, "Who am I gonna meet?" And she's like, "You're gonna meet a lot of people." So we knew that she was that hometown from the previews that had 55,000 people who were there.
So many people.
Jeez.
Why? Is that all family? Was that all family?
I don't know. Why was so many people at your hometown? Half of these people are not necessary.
That's her kindergarten teacher. So,
right, her old high school gym coach. Yeah. Like, why are all these people here? So she tells Colton that because he asked her if he's going to be her dad, tells her that her biological dad is not in her life, but her stepdad is who raised her. So that's who's going to meet. So we finally go to Caitlin's home. We are greeted by 85 people who are waiting to greet Colton.
Many humans.
Way too many damn people. Oh, her dad, though, I thought he was super sweet.
Yeah, he seemed really
sweet. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
He said to her, or he said just in general in his confessional, like, I've learned so much from Caitlin. She's made me a better person. And, you know, given that, he said he's very curious about, like, how genuine Colton is. And pretty much that whole barbecue, did y'all notice the dad was, like, in the cut, just, like, watching Colton a hawk?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. He was just creeping in the corner.
Creeping in the corner. So eventually they sit for dinner. Colton proposes a toast. Everybody raised their glass of this bright red substance. I was like, is that Kool-Aid? What y'all drinking?
It might have been.
It might have been, but why was it in stemmed wine glasses and it was bright red?
That is also
very bizarre. So Caitlin's sister grabs Caitlin for a chat. Justine, what did you think of her sister's makeup?
So here's the first thing I thought, though, because I've seen a lot of people say that Caitlin has gotten work done. And now, after seeing her sister, you know she has definitely not gotten work done unless they went to the same doctor and got the same thing, because they look exactly alike. So I was happy about that. Mm-hmm. Also, her sister was, like, doing a lot. Her sister had her boobs out. Okay. That was a lot.
Uh-huh.
Her sister had on a crop top with her boobs out and denim shorts. I was like, ooh. Now Amanda, what was her name? I forget.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't remember
either. But I was like, girl, you're doing a lot right now with this outfit.
Right.
She was camera ready.
Yeah. Colton.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The makeup was
kind of like, it was heavy and she seems really young. She must have been like 19, 20.
I thought she was older.
She shouldn't have had all that makeup on.
Really? I thought she was older than Caitlin.
Oh, she was older than
her? She looked older to me.
She just looked like she had too much on. It looked like...
Well, red is not the eye color to do for someone that coloring.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Not a fan of red eyeshadow.
She looked like a psycho.
I don't know what red looks good on anybody.
It doesn't. Like, it was like
an alien.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was a lot for daytime at a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
So Caitlin's sister, her one concern is, you know, asking Caitlin whether or not she spoke with Colton about her sexual assault. And Caitlin said that she did, and she feels, you know, comfortable with Colton for XYZ reasons. Her sister didn't seem to buy it. She seemed very skeptical, like, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rightfully so. Caitlin's mom sits down with Colton. And he, you know, shares that they have both said to each other that they're falling for each other. And Colton, you know, tells the mom how they've gone through a lot. They've gone through some things together over this journey.
That's ridiculous.
Because they had, like, the pageant drama. Then she had her, you know, opening up about her sexual assault story. Then she had... Mm-hmm. You know, last week's drama where people were trying to throw her under the bus, saying she wasn't there for the right reasons.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've been through a lot. We've come closer together. All that jazz. They're really riding on the fact that, like, over the course of 4 weeks, they've been through, like, the ups and downs of a full relationship. No.
I don't know why they keep presenting it that way. Like, they keep saying this like this is a real thing. And, like, we... all know that this is not real life. And if he had presented it that way, of like, when we get out of this is how I see
it,
I think it would have been more believable.
Mm.
But with this, like, we've been through a lot. You haven't been through nothing.
Right, mm-hmm. A month is like...
We've been through paradise together.
Yeah.
I love the mom. She said, like, when they sat down, she was like, she left and she didn't even know you. It was like,
like, still don't know him.
Still don't.
Right, and, like, you still don't know him, so, like, deep. Like, I just thought it was, like, that was, like, her starting line. I was like, okay, thank you. We get it. Yeah, she seemed nice, but
very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So Caitlin then sits with her dad, and he flat out asks her, like, do you want to get married? Because this is, like, she's 23, so for any parent, I'm sure this is, like, what are you trying to do? And she says that she does. And the dad said, you know... But it sounds like you guys can just be friends, though.
That killed me.
I love that.
Killed me. He was like, well, what's the difference?
If you get along with her, maybe you make out with them sometimes. What's the difference between your friend?
I love that. He was not buying the romance. He was like, y'all could just that kick it, be friends. That was such a good
point. It was. That was such a good point.
So, Kaylin, I think one thing I noticed with Kaylin, when, like, time gets rough, what she does is, like, come in with heavy compliments. So as soon as her dad, like, presented his doubt, she then went on this whole soliloquy about, like, how he's been the best stepdad ever. Her biological dad ain't shit. Yeah. He's been around. Like, just laid it on thick. You notice that, JT?
That was heavy. Yeah.
And it also seemed like the first time she was ever saying that to him.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, they never had a meaningful conversation about their relationship until that time, which I thought was weird. Like, the way he took that was, like, the first time she's ever acknowledged that he was her father.
Jeez, I hope that's not the first time she did it. But you're right. He was very emotional, as if he had never heard that before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I almost felt bad for him, in a way. And then the real dad walks through the door. The new twist.
Crashes the party.
That would have been good.
That's WeTV Bachelor. That's not ABC Bachelor.
Oh, they would have loved that. I'm sure they dug around to try to find the dad. They trifling just like that. I'm sure they would have.
I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Kaylin's dad finally sits with Colton, and he just asks, like, you know, where's your head at? Where's your heart at? What's going on? How do you know that you're the right person for her? Colton admittedly says, you know, I don't know yet. And classic Colton. Can't lie.
He's like too honest at the wrong time.
At the wrong time, my dude. This is not the time to be talking about how you don't know shit. You need to come in confident and strong with this father.
I also loved how he told the father, what I do know is you're an unbelievable person. I'm like, 2 hours ago, you didn't know she had a stepdad that wasn't her actual dad. So, like,
oh, shit.
You don't actually know that.
Good point. Good point. Oh, man. So the dad says, like, if this ends in an engagement, like, there can be absolutely no doubt, like, whatsoever. And Colton, who literally 2 seconds ago said he doesn't know about Kaylin, then asks for his permission to marry her. Yeah. So, just makes no damn sense. So the dad pauses.
Devilish.
Very long pause. And was like, are you ready to get married? Like, are you sure that you're ready for this lifetime commitment? And seems as if he's going to give him a hard time, and then he basically just gives him permission in the end, so.
Yeah, I think he would have gotten 3 no's, but this dad was, like, too nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice one.
He was on the verge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, Kaylin and Colton, they kind of end by, I thought this was strange, they were watching, like, home videos, but it looked like it was projected on this, like, giant movie screen in the house. Like, I was like, are y'all on the AMC?
He was like, what is she, 50? It's only 1990 that those videos.
So big. So big. So Kaylin Colton, they head outside. You know, she's walking him out. Kaylin tells him, I am confident that I am fully in love with you. Big words there.
Such bullshit.
And she says in her confessional, I'm fully confident that it's me and him at the end. Kaylin, how are you fully confident when there's three other girls left?
How? I feel like this was the moment where he was like, nah, she gotta go. Yep.
Came in too hot.
She came in something too happened. Hot. Especially for a guy like this, you gotta be real delicate. You gotta put him on the delicate cycle, okay? Colton is a delicate flower. Mm-hmm. You can't just say anything. This is what happened with Demi.
Yeah.
Demi came in there, she was like, I have feelings for you. And he was like, you have got to go right now. Like, you have got to leave.
Yeah. It's true. That's the nice. Wording okay, of things honey, is important because she said, I am confident that I am fully in love with you. Like,
fully in love with
you. That's
a
lot to handle for a dude who, like, doesn't even know where the hell he is right now and, like, can't, you know, doesn't know, can't answer questions.
And thought
state he's in.
Yeah, and thought you were lying last week.
Right, was ready to send your ass home, and now you're fully confident that he's the one. And you're, come on, girl.
Yeah.
I didn't know a lot. So that was Kaylin. I'm curious, Geneva and Justine, like, or JT, what were your thoughts on Kaylin? You guys don't really know her, you're watching it, like, what did you perceive from her?
I kind of felt that they didn't really have any kind of vibe. Like, it felt very forced and, like, artificial to me, so I found it shocking when she said she was, like, fully in love with him at the end. I was like, what? Like, even the way they, like, they just, it seemed just completely, like, fake to me. So they, that was the one that I got no vibe from. Like, I didn't feel like he liked her, and I felt like she was really putting on the full court press. And, like, I think I felt like he was just, yeah, like, scared. Like she was too aggressive or something.
I did get a little bit of a, like, a forcing it vibe. Which is strange.
Yes. Like, she was really trying to make it happen.
Yeah, I'd say in the beginning, they started off, like, a really good connection. I was a huge fan. And then...
really strong.
I think maybe last week was the turn of events, because she... her character got brought into question and all that jazz, and...
I watched last week. Yeah, I saw that. It seemed... yeah, she's it seemed like young. Maybe doubts were planted in his head, but she, meanwhile, was like... she went the opposite. Like, well, he thinks this, I'm going to go full court press. All the way in. And he just was like,
felt a little forced.
Yeah.
All right, next hometown is Hannah G, who I refer to as Big Eyes, because she has some big ass eyes. She and does. Her hometown was in Birmingham, Alabama. Which...
would you go?
Like Virginia.
Yeah, it was getting deeper into the South.
Oh my God. And I didn't know... like, if there was a Black Bachelor, do you know... like, I don't know if I would go.
Yeah, I don't... them parts of the... yeah, I don't go to them parts.
I think Birmingham is, like, a little safer than going to, like, Mississippi.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
There's yikes. Like yes.
You know?
Yes.
Birmingham at least is, like, kind of, like, kind of central. Isn't that a college town? Like, there's some kind of college.
Yeah, it's a college town. City. Yeah.
So it's, like, you may be okay.
Yeah. But shout out to our Alabama listeners.
Shout out. I know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know. I feel so bad because we talk so much shit about the South and, like, accents and stuff. But love y'all. We just are hella northerners up here.
Yes.
So anyways, we go to Hannah B's, Hannah G, her hometown.
Yeah.
She does the classic run, jump, hug. she reveals that for their date, for the day, she wants to turn him into a Southern gentleman. And so they're going to be taking an etiquette class.
Such a terrible move.
Mm-hmm. It's just so rude.
If somebody did that to me on a date, I'd be like, you know what, I'm good.
Yeah, not how I want to spend my date with
I'm
you.
I'm out of here.
Especially your hometown.
Especially not in the South.
Like, take them around to, like, all your little spots and stuff like that. Like, why are you spending your day in Birmingham?
There's got to be some sort of college game or some good food. I know they got
some good barbecue down there. She could have taken them to the barbecue spot. Instead, they went to an etiquette class. So Colton obviously is scared shitless because he's just terrified of literally everything.
He looked terrified and
frightened, per usual.
A scared child.
So they have this etiquette teacher who's like making him just do dumb shit. Like he had to walk with a book on his head to like practice his posture. And then they do like a whole table manners course. I learned the proper way to eat bread.
Me too. That was it. Okay. There were people in our mentions that were like, that's not how I eat bread. I'm from Alabama and we don't do it like that.
Oh, wow.
I eat bread like it comes in a bread basket and as quickly as possible, I eat as much as I can. That's how you eat bread.
Yeah.
She also dropped the bless your heart, which in the South is really like, kind of the equivalent of like an F you. Like,
oh shit.
Bless your heart is like you are a complete disaster. If somebody says that to you in the South, that means like
you're translation, a you're a fucking mess right now.
It's so rude.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He learned how to eat bread, you tear off a little nibble, you butter each individual piece, which seems like a fucking waste of time, but okay.
And a waste of butter.
So much butter. You're having so much butter if you're buttering every single
nibble.
Piece.
Every like
imagine if you went on a date with a guy and you start eating like that.
Like seeing that done live and in the flesh is just freaky.
Like, no, you're that. Weird, dude. I'll shove a roll in my mouth and hit the road. I gotta go.
Oh, God.
Totally.
So, he learns how to eat some bread, and then the lady gave some analogy about how some with an umbrella. Hannah's family's the umbrella.
Yeah, she's been under an umbrella.
And now...
also, an umbrella doesn't shield you from heavy things. She's like, protecting them under an umbrella. It's like, if something heavy falls on an umbrella, it's also falling on you. The only thing that protects you from is rain. Like, that was a terrible analogy.
It wasn't the greatest.
It's not a shield.
It wasn't the greatest analogy.
If you're with Captain America and he raises his shield over you.
Right. Yeah, you're fine if Captain America is protecting you, but not a freaking umbrella.
Oh, God. So, time for the nighttime portion. They head to Hannah's parents' home. And she says in her little confessional, you know, like, my parents' approval is a huge factor in me moving forward with Colton. That's all talk in my book. If her dad came out the game and was like, fuck this man, like, she's still going to get right down and say yes to the proposal. I hate when they're like, my family's opinion means everything. Like, I'll change my mind if they hate him. And you know damn well they're not going to do that. So,
no.
Mm-hmm. I've yet to see it.
I'm sure they weren't excited about her going on The Bachelor.
Yeah, I'm sure they were not.
She still went on The Bachelor.
Right.
Right, right.
So they walk into our house again. 95,000 people are there to greet them.
So many people.
The mom, the dad. She had three cousins, a best friend, some other people in the background. Just everybody's there. Colton does another toast. He was dressed in his little cute little blue button down. Looked like he's going to Sunday school. Love his little outfit. I love the outfit that, you know, when you're meeting the parents, like the outfit that you have to like put on. Gotta be like conservative, but also want to show your style. But like ear on conservative.
I guess.
I can eat my bread right.
Right, gotta eat your bread right.
Yeah. What if he sits down and he's like, God damn it, there isn't bread.
How do I impress them?
I can't eat anything.
So in his little toast, he reminds us that he said from, you know, the first day, Hannah was someone who reminded him of home. Which is like, that gives Justine and I PTSD because last season, Becca constantly talked about Garrett, who we referred to as Garrett Kushner, the Make America Great Again asshole, as reminding her of home. So even just hearing that terminology really just, like, gives me a pause. So Hannah's mom, who, she looks like everybody's school lunch lady to me.
Yes. You know how they say, like, women turn into their mothers.
Yeah, I was like, she wasn't prepared to be on TV. That's what I thought.
Her boobs
were
not out.
You know who was prepared? The friend with the Kate Gosselin hair? Oh,
I'm so happy.
Oh,
I literally wrote my notes. Her cousin looks like Kate from John and Kate Plus 8.
Yes. Yeah. She was fully prepared, had a fresh do. She was ready to go.
Yep. Fresh do.
She had a little bang, like, you know, freshly to the side and little curls in the back or whatever that look is.
Yes. God, the hairstyle. That won't die. Mm-mm. People keep bringing it back.
Bring it back. So good. So Hannah's mom, she's terrified. She's not buying any of this. Hannah sits with her cousins and her best friend.
This was
who
pointless.
They all kind of said they never seen her this emotional about a guy.
That's because she's 23.
She's also very young. Like, she just started dating. So.
Right.
What other experiences
freshly
are there
out
to
of
be called upon?
Freshly out of diapers, you're a mess.
Her cousin, Kate from John and Kate, she says, you know, does it scare you the fact that he's a virgin and fantasy suites are coming up? She just, like, went in with the boom.
Shout out to her.
Yeah, she just...
I love that. That would be Justina. She'd be like, so...
Y'all gonna, you know, throw down or not?
You better tell me what happens, everything.
So Hannah, she says that, you know, it doesn't bother her. It's part of Colton. She's a...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah,
I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Excited, yada, yada, yada. So now Colton's in with the dad. And the dad, same thing. So what's your deal? What's going on here? And Colton does the same spiel, trying to reassure them, and then same thing, asks them for permission. And the dad, he at first is like speechless and is like silent and says, you know, that blows me away a little bit, because that's the I think the whole asking for permission thing is just so, I mean, there's so many issues with it, but like for the fathers, it puts them in such a bad spot, because they're like, I just met you. But at the same time, like, I want happiness for my daughter, and I see that she's happy with you. So now I have to, like, force myself into giving you permission. But like, I don't even fucking know who you are.
Yeah.
It's roulette.
And on top of all of that, this is a competition.
On top of that, there's three other bitches.
So if they say no, it could affect their daughter's like ranking in this competition for these other people.
Oh, shit, that's true.
Which I'm sure they don't want to do.
Right.
It just feels so antiquated to like a month in. Like, I get it if you've been dating like a long period of time and you know the family and it's like you want to do the respectful thing and talk to dad, whatever. But it's like, it's 2019. They've known each other a month. Like, is that the problem? Not getting permission is the issue with this relationship? Like, that's going to be your barrier? Not the fact that you've known each other 30 days? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Very true. So the dad, same thing. He feigns like he's shocked and like blah, 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 and then ends up giving permission anyway. So Hannah sits with her mom. You know, lunch lady, she is looking, she's very worried. She doesn't want her daughter to get hurt. She says, which I thought was very telling, she said, you know, Hannah left here a mama's girl and has returned a woman in love.
I saw that.
So precious. So precious yet problematic.
Yeah, that's the issues.
I found it to be very problematic.
Because you're like telling the world, like, my daughter is a child. Like, all of you back home who has been watching this 23-year-old like play house, like, yes, that exactly is what she is. But now she's like blossomed in the last 30 days through this insecure ass man. Suddenly she's a woman in love.
23 is just so young to get married. Like,
it's very young.
Insanely young.
I was too
such
young.
An asshole at 23. Like, I didn't know my ass or my face. I just graduated college. Was trying to figure, like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know anything about yourself as a person at 23, especially if you've been living at home or a mama's girl. Like, there's no way. It just seems
right.
I don't know.
And like, we've had many listeners email us who are, you know, young from the South, who are married, and kind of like explain this to us, because we obviously, like, we also don't understand what any of this is.
Yeah, don't get it. Yeah.
And I still don't really buy it, but like, I can see like 23-year-old who's like been through life and is like, you know, they're 23 on paper, but they've like lived a life and have been, they're very mature and like they feel ready for marriage, whatever. Hannah G ain't that.
No,
she ain't that. I think she still lives at home. Her mom literally just refers to her as a mama's girl. She ain't that 23-year-old mature who's ready for marriage. Like, I'm not buying that at all. She does say to her mom, you know, I don't just want to be a coin toss. And he's validated this for me. And the mom flat out asks her, how? Like, how has he validated this? Hannah's response, you know, doing the little things, accepting who I am, making me feel safe. How do you feel safe?
That's a little thing? That's a big thing.
Accepting who you are, you don't get a Triscuit for that. You're supposed to accept the woman for who she is. Making you feel safe. How do you feel safe when there are three other girls
left? Three other girls. That's what I wrote down, too. I was like, ow. What kind of safety, like, measurement? Like, what's the measure for safety here?
I don't know.
That he just keeps picking you?
They're just saying buzzwords at this point.
To me, it's like she's reading off a Hallmark card that she found, like, about love.
Yep.
She's like, reading. He makes me feel safe, and you thank me for who I am. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it doesn't seem connected to their actual relationship.
No, it's the bachelor buzzwords, for sure. So anyways, that was her hometown. Hannah walks Colton out. She drops the, I'm falling in love with you. Colton says it back, and so they're in a good spot, we'll say. You gotta drop, if you haven't dropped the I love you or the I'm falling in love with you by hometowns, it's a problem.
I love
that
I'm
falling. They know if they haven't said it yet, as they're walking him out, they need to say it.
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. The I'm falling in love with you is great too, because it's just like, it feels like such a cop out. Like, you're just saying it because you're like, oh shit, I gotta say something. So
yeah, I know.
I'm falling in love with you. It's like, are you?
Because they know they can't say I'm in love with you, because that'd be some fuck shit if they said it and they don't mean it.
Right.
So
right,
it's a lighter blow if you're like, yeah, I could say I'm falling in love with you. Like, sure, I like you. So sure, I'm on that trajectory of falling in love. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's whispering in her dad's ear, you're still going to pay my bills, right? She's only 23 years
old. Sliding over her phone bill. Like,
my Verizon bill's due in a couple days. Right, I'll keep that current.
Totally. I'll still be on your insurance till 26, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's wild. Right. These girls are still on their parents' insurance.
They are. 100%. Yep.
Oh, wow.
They got years on insurance. Oh, years.
Yes.
Lord. Jeez.
So moving on to our third hometown, our homegirl, Tayshia.
Finally to the West Coast.
Black History Month.
Yeah. Yes, it's still Black History Month, yo.
She's too good to be on this show.
She's,
She
ain't got no business
for this particular bachelor. She's like
way too good for her.
She's a really good one.
Cool time, she's gorgeous.
So
she's
pretty.
She's like her skin. She's beautiful.
Yeah. So like her hometown, they're in Orange County, California. What? Shout out to SoCal. You guys are both from Southern California.
Yo, Vicky.
What's the vibe? What?
Justine's from Rochester, New York, originally.
Oh. So, yeah, but you live in Cali.
I'm from.
Yeah, she lives in San Diego, yeah.
So
Orange County is pretty white.
What's the vibe?
Okay. Santa Ana is where Disneyland is, so it's not as white as, like,
that's
Real
where she lives right
Orange
there.
County.
Okay.
Yeah, she lives in Santa Ana, so a little more diverse, a lot of Asians, but not, like,
not
like an L.A. vibe.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
Tayshia, she welcomes Colton, and she immediately tells him she has a lot of surprises in store for him. And she says, you know, relationships are all about trust. Do you trust me? And he's like, okay, sure. And then she whips out this big red blindfold and blindfolds Colton, which is, of course, his biggest nightmare of all the nightmares that he, all the fears of his. Because she basically blindfolds him. He doesn't know where they're going, what they're doing. She leads him to the car. She's driving. They don't know where they're going, and they finally pull up. And the surprise is that they're going skydiving.
No one should ever do this to anyone.
No,
ever. You can't just surprise people with skydiving.
No, absolutely not.
But to be fair, on their one-on-one date, he
did
surprised
her
with bungee jumping.
Oh, so you can't do that either. That's illegal.
Bungee jumping's a little bit safer. I don't know.
Is it?
Bungee jumping is I've done bungee jumping and skydiving. Skydiving is 100 times easier than bungee jumping.
On, like, the challenge, for example, when they're, like, in these, like, crazy countries where production has just set up the set, like, all right, now you're going to jump off this cliff. It's like, no, I'm not. Like, I don't know what standards you have for production. Like, I'm not. At least you were in America going skydiving. You know there's, like, a standard.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You've done both skydiving and bungee jumping. That's incredible.
I've done both. I've always said skydiving, anybody can skydive, because you were literally dangling off of the instructor. So, like, you feel safe. Yeah. It's, like, jumping. Uh-huh. It's whatever. Bungee jumping is, like, 100 times scarier, because it's all on you to walk to the edge and jump. It was a good time. But, yeah, Tasia, you can't be rolling up on people talking about we going skydiving.
Yeah, no.
So, particularly Colton, who's terrified of fucking everything.
Everything.
He looked so terrified. Like, I could see mm-hmm. he looked pure, like, purely afraid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess at least he did it. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have, yeah. I would have been like, no.
Yeah. He went up there.
I was proud of
him. He knew he couldn't punk out. He cannot punk out.
Yeah.
Because
nope.
Tasia, even when they're going up in the plane, Colton literally looked terrifying. His face mm-hmm. was, like, so scared. Mm. He was shaking. Yeah. Tasia said he was shaking. Tasia, on the other hand, she looked like she was chilling, which is the same way she looked when they bungee jumped. She looked like she's done
I
all
feel
this.
Like she does this.
I feel like she does this. Fuck.
Yeah. Like, not only has she done this before, but, like, she does this.
Yeah.
Like,
it's her
like,
test.
For her birthday every year. Like,
right. She seems way too comfortable with, like, height mm-hmm. things.
Yeah, because if
almost she, death
or she has, like, the okay. best poker face in the world, because she just ate that. Like, she looked completely stone-faced. Like, she mm-hmm. didn't yeah. have a care in the world.
Straight chilling.
How? So, jumping out of that airplane, I give uh-huh. anybody credit for doing that. That looks so scary.
I think that's the worst part mm-hmm. to me. It's like you're standing in a functioning plane going, I'm going to choose to jump out of it.
Out.
Yes. That's the piece I don't understand.
The scary part is the jump. Once you're in the air, you're just free falling. You like mm-hmm. literally feels like nothing. You're just like moving very fast. And then they pull the thing and then you're just like soaring. You can do it. I promise you. Everyone can skydive. It is so not as bad as it looks. Mm-hmm. So they do their skydiving. Colton said, God, please let me survive this fall. I still have to lose my virginity. He's very sad to die before then. And yeah, he screamed. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. He just cracks me up. I personally thought this was a very, although this is not the date that you just spring on somebody, I think it's a smart move for Tasia, because when you share intense moments like this, like mm-hmm. first moments or like adrenaline rush mm. things, it brings yeah. you closer to the person, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
true. Mm-hmm.
So I think strategically it was like a good move. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah,
it's fun.
So Tasia and Colton sit and have a little chat. She drops the "I'm falling in love with you," and Colton, you know, tells her back, you know, after you left my apartment in Colorado, I realized that I was also falling in love with you too. So they got a mutual. Now she talks about taking him home, and she reminds all of us that the last guy that she brought home was actually her ex-husband. So mm. Tasia was recently married, recently divorced, not that long ago, and now she's bringing home this very scared, like, virgin white man to her black ass dad who was not playing, like,
5,000 cameras.
Mm-hmm, with a bunch of cameras at that. So, time for nighttime. They head to Tasia's parents' home, and we meet her mom, Rosario, who mm-hmm. was Latina, I'm assuming. Yep. I didn't realize that she was a little swirly little girl. Mm-hmm. So, we meet her mom, her dad, and her two brothers. Nice, small hometown. Exactly what I want to see.
Yes. Normal people. Yeah.
Immediate family only. That's all we need. That's it. So they arrive, they sit for dinner. The dad, you know, expresses that he can't bear to see Tasia hurt again, because he literally just mm-hmm. went through this with her in the last like 12 months. And Colton says, you know, I wouldn't be able to look you in the eyes if my feelings weren't there. Because I thought it was a nice little well-crafted response.
Yeah, good. And he was, like, man, looking him in the eyes. Like, I felt like he actually mm-hmm. maintained eye contact while he said it, which mm-hmm. I gave
credit. Yeah, I actually believed him.
Yeah.
So Tasia sits with her mom, and, you know, Tasia, she says, you know, I've learned so much from my past relationships. I know what I want. I know what I don't want. And as she's saying this, like, that's feeling very reassuring for me because of her past, of what she's been through, that Tasia, of all the women, can be the one to say, like, I know what I want, and, like, I'm ready for mm-hmm. this.
Right.
much more believable than like Hannah and Caitlin, who are just kind of saying they're ready based on like, I don't even know, unknown factors. But like Tasia is actually basing her readiness off of the fact that she like just went through this and it ended terribly. So
I guess like, do you judge her though if this is, if she knows what she wants and Colton is what she wants
and this is it, right? There is a little bit of judgment there. Exactly. What's,
right.
What is the processing happening there? I don't know.
Right.
It's a little weird.
I mean, yeah, you have to look at her a little bit sideways. Like, I know you're ready for this. You've been through it, but like, this is the guy who you're convinced is the one.
You sure?
Sure about that? But all right. So Colton sits with Tasia's father. Colton says to her, you know, I'm falling in love with Tasia. The dad immediately is like, love is a strong word, son.
That was hysterical.
Strong
word. He went on that whole monologue. He was like, you know, sometimes words, you know, sometimes we choose them and maybe they're not right. You seem like a smart guy, but maybe your words, you're not choosing them right. You know?
He wanted to talk him out. He wanted to talk him into taking that shit back. Like, so
bad.
So yeah, he says, you know, you can't fall back on saying love, like it has to be sincere. Mm-hmm. And then he questioned him, like, are you having the same conversations with the other girls?
Yes.
Valid question, because the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the dad asks, you know, how can you fall in love with more than one person? And Colton, you know, I didn't think it could be possible before now. Not very reassuring. Because
you don't live in a polyamorous community where, like, you're
oh god. And then, you know, the dad says, you know, this is, you know, you can't lead people on, you can't lead anybody on, you need to know kind of like what you're looking for, what you want. And then Colton, you know, his quick response to whenever it's getting like pressure is just, can I get her hand in marriage, like quickly ask for permission.
Yeah. And he kept using his Desmond's language back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice that? Mm-hmm. Like, Desmond would say, like, man to man, da 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 da. And then Colton was like, well, man to man, can I ask for your
psychology?
Yeah.
Like mirroring, yeah. That's funny. So Colton asks for permission, and the dad now, Tasia's dad, he looked just dumbfounded. Like, he was not expecting that at all.
Nope.
And his response cracked me up. He said to Colton, you know, I appreciate you manning up, but I just met you.
So good.
And then he said, you know, straight up, I think you're a good guy, but I want to protect her and her best interest. Appreciate the talk. And that was it. And, like, you can tell Colton's, like, walking away, like gave him the handshake, but was like, was that a blessing?
Like,
I guess I didn't get permission to get him. Like, yeah, nah, bro, he did not give you the blessing. Keep
but
moving.
I said I'm falling in love with her.
Right, he thinks that's it.
I just feel like he had an encounter with a real man and didn't really know what to do. Like, you know, it was kind of shocked him.
Yeah.
I think he went in there strong, thinking that he was going to get, you know, permission from all the dads, but...
Mm-hmm.
Not Tasia's
I loved
daddy.
It.
I do think that Tasia and him have the most chemistry, like physical chemistry. Mm-hmm. Like he couldn't stop like kissing her as they were like leaving. Like I think of all the girls, like he kept like going back to her, like one more. I was like, oh wow, look at that. Like you're actually like, rather than your weird open mouth non tongue kissing that you're doing with the other girls.
No,
like that. I get a sense that like he does really like her. Like at least from watching this episode.
Yeah. I think of the four girls, she's definitely the most well-rounded, well-put-together, most probably, like, challenging for him. Like, in that she, like, challenges him as, like, you know, making him a better, more mature man. So I think he is drawn to that, but I think he also is still being tugged along or being tugged at by the, you know, pretty young things.
Yeah. Pretty shiny things.
Pretty shiny things. So Tasia, she has a little chat with her dad. Her dad flat out says, who is this Colton guy? Like, what is this that we're doing here?
Wait, they sat down. Did you hear what he first said? He said, Tasia, what are you doing?
Yes. I love that.
Yo, I howled. I was like, finally, someone says this.
Oh my God.
Tasia, what are you doing?
What are you actually doing, girl? What are you doing?
I wasn't supposed to go this far, Tasia.
Right. You're supposed to go on this little show, come home, you know, in 3 weeks, get a couple Instagram followers, mm-hmm. and go about your life. Like, why yeah. am I sitting here now in a hometown? What is this? I didn't sign up for all this.
Seriously.
So Tasia, she says, you know, he's been very upfront with me with what he wants, you know, versus, I guess she's comparing him to her ex-husband versus that guy who would only tell me what I wanted to hear. Which, I mean, that to me made no damn sense because Colton, he hasn't proved anything to you. All you get right now is just what he is saying.
That's the whole bachelor.
That's the whole bachelor. You're just getting words. So he actually is no different from your ex-husband at this point because he hasn't been able to prove his actions because y'all are still in fantasy land. So, mm-hmm. okay. Now the dad says, you know, he seems like a nice guy, but I meet a lot of nice guys. How do I know that he's not just telling you what you want to hear? Like, the dad's already, like, not even buying this. Mm-hmm. And Tasia just reassures him, like, I know this is where I want to be. The dad asks, like, if he asked you to get married right now, what would you say? And she says to her dad, I would say yes. And I'm actually very confident he's proven to be the light after all of the hurt I've been through. That's a lot. That's a
abort lot. Mission.
Yeah, how does she know all that? How does she know he's prepared to be the light?
The lights.
Girl.
Colton is not prepared. He ain't ready for all that.
He's literally afraid of Kaylin and Cassie and kept them.
Right. Colton is afraid, like, of the dark, probably still. Like, he's afraid nobody's light. He still sleeps with a nightlight. Like, girl, bye.
I think he's ready. He's not ready to be the light. He's, like, ready to follow her. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I think yes. the appeal, like, she would be the lead. Her mm-hmm. is, like, she could be a guide through life for him. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. and I think for her, maybe she feels like that might be safe too, because, like, she could be the dominant one in a relationship, like, if they made it to
right.
the end. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But not, like, he's not taking her anywhere. He's not leading.
He's
anywhere.
Not leading mm-hmm. at all. You are the light and the everything in this relationship, mm-hmm. Tasia. So.
Mm-hmm. Just to get you. You're the brains. You're the everything.
Right. So the dad, he just kind of hears her out and says, you know, all I can do is go off of your feelings, and I can see that you're generally happy, so I, you know, I trust you. So now the dad, after sitting with Tasia and hearing her out, he ends up having a change of heart and tells Colton that he is, you know, willing to give Colton his blessing.
So let's get married.
I know. I thought he was going to hold out strong, but yeah, he had a change
so
of heart.
So did I.
He's just such a, he loves his daughter.
Yeah, he loves her. He trusts mm-hmm. her. I think he knows, like, she's been through some mess.
She does look very cool, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's been through some mess with her ex-husband, so he's like, if you're really out here and you're saying all these great things, then I guess, I mean, I have to trust you. So yeah, Colton, Tasia walks him out. Yeah, as you said, Geneva, they just were kissing, couldn't stop kissing. And I thought it was a pretty, aside from the dad being, like, tough on him, I thought it was a good hometown. And it really showed, like, their connection
yeah.
and their chemistry probably better than any other couple, any other girls.
Definitely
girl's
the best one mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. far.
100%.
Way more normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we head into our fourth hometown. Good old Cassie.
Oh, man.
So we head over to Huntington Beach. So where is that in relation to Orange County?
Huntington Beach is, like, one of the beaches, like, right.
45 minutes north.
Yeah, half close hour to LA. North. Huntington Beach is closer to LA, so a lot of LA hipsters okay. live in that area.
Okay, mm-hmm. So the vibe is, like, kind of like L.A. Hollywood-ish. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly like those, all those that whole
those
family
people,
represents
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the
very
family
well.
Was Huntington
yeah.
Beach at its finest.
Ah, interesting.
The daughter and the mom with their faces.
Yeah. And so Cassie, she meets Colton at the beach. I respect that she did not do the classic run, jump, straddle. Appreciated that.
I thought
that.
She almost would, but she
did. She kept her legs straight. She didn't straddle.
Yep.
Because she hates him, right?
Has anyone ever greeted anyone that like that? Like,
no!
Ever?
It's such a bachelor no. thing, the run, jump, hug. Who no. does this? I've never done that with anybody, ever.
Me neither. Ever.
Ever.
In my life.
Jesus. Sorry. So for their date, they're going surfing, which, surprise, surprise, Colton has never done, because he hasn't done fucking anything. I feel like
any
date that they go on, it's like, oh my god, I've never done this. Like, where have you been? Like, you're like a grown-ass man with money who travels. Like, you haven't...
played football his whole life, I guess.
Yeah, he was, like, stuck in a football training facility until he was 18.
Yeah, like, got out and did not... He's
yeah.
He's definitely proven himself to be very sheltered. I think that's... Mm-hmm. a you know huge thing we've learned about Colton.
Oh yeah, like by himself. Like, no one is actually sheltering you because you have money.
You have the means to do a lot of these things, but you just haven't.
To do a lot.
I read that before this show, he never left the country.
Yeah, he never left.
He never left North America.
Fuck. Wild.
Yeah.
Horrifying and disgusting, but okay. So anyways, they do their surfing. Colton says in his confessional, you know, the biggest question going into today is, where is she at in our relationship? This is where Colton got my Becky of the Week, y'all.
Nice!
Right here in this moment with this very damn question. Nice. How are you the bachelor and you're not sure about one of the final girls that you have left here? All four of those girls, you should know 100% that they're confident in their relationship with you. How are you the lead and you're unsure about how someone feels about you? Why is she still here then?
What
is she still doing here?
I mean, she said, I know how I feel, but I want to be sure. And so then she doesn't know how she feels.
So you don't know.
That's your statement.
These 23-year-olds? That is such a 23-year-old statement.
Yeah. This makes no sense. Like, you have someone whose whole, like, her whole character was, like, brought into question last week. You ended up sending other girls home over her. And now you're about to go into hometown to ask her dad for permission. All these things when you have no fucking clue how she even feels about you. Like, are you hearing the things that you're saying, Colton? It just makes no sense.
Yeah.
So frustrating. So Colton and Cassie sit and have a little chat. And he says, you know, I know where I'm at. He tells her, like, I'm still trying to figure out where you're at, like, where your feelings are. And she says to him, you know how I feel, but I want to make sure, and I think you meeting my family will make me more aware of that. So she's relying on the whole, you know, I'll bring you home to my family, see how it goes, and then I'll tell you how I feel, whole thing, which we see how that goes. So time to meet the family. And we just see a whole, it was a whole group of just like screeching blondes. They were just hollering.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So many blondes.
So many blondes with very high-pitched voices. The dad now, Cassie's dad, he's, you know, he's laying back. Very skeptical. He was super weirded out by all the affection Colton was showing to Cassie.
Yeah.
He was not into it.
He first saw that.
And he says in his little confessional, he's like, I don't know, he seems like a guy.
Like, line of the episode.
When is one of these dads going to punch a bachelor, I wonder?
Oh, wow.
Cassie's dad got my invite to the cookout.
Okay.
He got mine as well. He got mine as well.
Did he?
I love it.
Yep.
For that one line?
Yep.
I mean, his whole, his whole scenes were why I invited him, but I just love that he was just not having it and was not engaging and was not here for it. And it was evident. And it made Colton so uncomfortable. It made me just so happy.
Yeah, it is good. It was really good.
So happy.
And you don't expect that in Huntington Beach, too.
No.
In, like, a fake part of the world.
Right, right.
No. Yeah, he was not having it. So Cassie sits and has a little chat with her sister. Now, her sister, like, the interwebs, like, dug up. Her sister's dating, like, some actor in Hollywood. She was from
she was
from one of those like teen
shows.
They
both looked like they would be on like a Noxzema commercial or like a
the two of them together.
Who are these people? They're
right?
The plastic surgery are they living it?
Seriously.
God, they all look
so she sits with her sister. She says to him, you know, he's amazing. He gets me on every level. And the sister flat out asks, like, do you think you know him well enough to like say this? Like, would you say yes if he proposed? And Cassie,
or more importantly, do you have levels?
Right.
Yeah,
do you have
right.
These different what are these levels that you're referring to? Mm-hmm. Cassie, she admits, she's like, I'm still not there yet, if you know, to say yes, but I think we can get there. Yeah, I am falling in love with him. And the sister just like starts breaking down crying. She's like, I can't believe this is happening. What the fuck is this?
What do you mean?
She's crazy. So like, I should be a finalist on The Bachelor, not you.
Right. What do you think about it? This is terrifying, though. Like, if my sister came home and after a month of being on a show and is like, this is my, I'm in love with this guy and I want him to get married and, like, I need you guys all to bless this. And I'm just like, I probably would cry too, because I'm like, I don't know who he is. I didn't even get to vet him. Like, what is this? All of this is just terrifying.
You would definitely cry.
100% cry.
You would 100% cry.
You know.
I would change my phone number and never talk to her again. Like, I don't know who you are. Your sister.
You've been watching too much Housewives.
Call me in a decade.
So yeah. Colton sits with the mom. The mom says, you know, I see the chemistry between you, but there are other women. Like, what the hell? And Colton, you know, he says, I'm falling in love with her. I can't even put into words. Our connection is so undeniable. Now, for Justine and for JT and Geneva, one thing to know is, like, Cassie is someone that Colton's been, like, infatuated with from the beginning. Like, as viewers, we don't know shit about her. And she really didn't, like, pop up until, like, two episodes ago. But they've always kind of had this, like, unspeakable, like, whatever the fuck. Okay. He's, like, been always super, super drawn to her. So he, you know, spills all this to the mom and also admits to the mom that he doesn't know where Cassie is or doesn't know how she feels. So just every time he said this, I'm just like, why is she here? You sent home people who were very sure. And you have this one person who you have no clue how she feels about you. And yet, for some reason, we're still doing this. So now Cassie sits with her dad. Love the dad. No, the dad says, he's a great guy, but I don't know, I just met him. Like, classic, like, so true. Sure, he seems nice, but, like, just who facts. Is he? Now Cassie comes in. He's amazing. You notice how she said it so aggressively?
She did. She really...
She's a spoiled brat.
She wasn't a smart enough saleswoman as Kaylin.
Mm. No.
To, like, do the reverse psychology on him, but she was definitely trying to hard sell him.
Hard sell to a dad who's just not buying any of it.
No.
So she says that I'm amazing, or he's amazing, so aggressively. And she just, you know, it's so weird how well we match. And the dad's like, you know, he is meeting three other families. Like, just kept dropping in the facts to her. It was, like, making her, like, realize how dumb all of this is. And she says, you know, if it is me at the end of this, you know, at least I know that he's explored other women and he knows that for sure I'm the one.
That is such a 23-year-old statement.
We all watched it.
So cringy. So cringy.
It was so young of her to say, like.
And that sounded exactly, it reminded me of when guys cheat and when they're like, you know, I needed to step out, so I know that you're the one, ma.
Yep.
Like, that's exactly her justification. Like, I need him to go be with this other woman so he knows that I'm the one. Like, Cassie, do you hear yourself? You sound really dumb right now.
And you sound like you would let him get away with anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the dad asks, you know, can you become engaged? Do you think you can go through this? She says, I don't know yet. And then the dad reiterates again, like, you know, marriage is something you just don't jump into. You know, you need to be sure. And how can you be sure after such a short period of time, Cassie? Like, he's just, like, saying all the things that fathers across America would say. Mm-hmm. Now, Cassie, her typical MO, because she was in some drama last week, her typical MO is to get super defensive and just be, like, overly defensive that you're just not even on her side, like, basically.
Yeah. And tears. She goes for tears.
The tears. She says to her dad, oh my God, I'm not dumb. Like, oh God, just really showing her age.
Yeah, she sounded like she was gonna, like, I'm going to my room. Like,
get out of my room, Dad. You're ruining my life. Like, that's what it sounded like.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then writing in her journal, like, dear diary,
dad sucks.
My dad is the worst.
Puts her dad in her burn book.
Burn book. Right.
So the dad says to her, as what everyone is thinking back home, yes, but you're 23 and you have your whole life ahead of you. Cassie says, you know, you're scaring me. I just don't want you to be mad at me, Dad. She literally was a child in this whole scene.
I couldn't believe it. Oh my God.
When she said that, I was like, oh my God. So the dad in the interview, in his little interview, this is where he got my invite to the cookout. Says you need more than a couple random dates to fall in love with someone. Just worded it so perfectly. Couldn't have said it any better myself. So the dad sits down with Colton. Same thing, asks, you know, where's your head at? Colton says, you know, I have a very good idea of what life can be like in the end with her. How, we have no idea. And then he asks for permission. Now the dad says, you know, this is a lifetime commitment. This is big. It's forever. And too often it's done without thought. As far as the hand in marriage goes, that would be a premature blessing.
Love it.
Shots fired. No blessing in the end. Ended on a high note. Mm-hmm.
I also love how, like, he calls it a lifetime commitment, and it's big and it's forever, except if you're on the show, and then it can last 3 months after the show and you break up, so it's like...
You're Us Weekly cover.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, now Cassie, she's walking Colton out, and they sit and have a little chat outside, and Colton, you know, because remember, Cassie told him, you know, I don't know where I'm at yet, but once I bring you home, I'll get some clarity, and, you know, we'll figure it out. So Colton now turns to her and says, you know, where are you at? Which is code for, bitch, I'm going to need you to say you're in love with me right now.
Yeah, right now.
That's what he's pulling at.
Time to say the magic words.
Time to say the words, my girl. And Cassie says to him, you know, I want to be 100% confident in anything I'm going to say to you. And, you know, I'm really excited to see where, you know, we can go. And, you know, I just don't want this to be over. We got no I love you, my friends.
Guys, they're supposed to, he's supposed to get down on one knee March 12th. It is February 26th.
Like, he has not gotten the magic words. How? I don't know.
No.
She's kind of a G, honestly. Like, the way she's just playing him. Like,
yeah.
She's
running this whole thing.
Kind of amazing to watch.
Mm-hmm. She's just like her dad, kind of, right?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
She is totally running this thing.
And that's
she's
always
full
the girl
control.
Yeah, that the guys want is the hard to get. She is playing hard to get.
Oh, totally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, like, she didn't kiss him at the end, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. Really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
She doesn't like
no kiss him. Kiss them. So, like, she's really, like, she's playing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Colton, you know, he packs up into the SUV. He says in his interview, I wanted her to say it so bad. She didn't tell me how she feels. I don't have her father's blessing. Like, he's like, fuck. This, in all intents and purposes, like, this was a hometown that ended pretty poorly. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not a good one. Okay, time for the rose ceremony. We got four girls, three roses. Mm-hmm. If you get a rose, you're going to Fantasy Suites.
Mm.
All of the ladies looked beautiful. And then Cassie walked up in a white belly shirt and a white long skirt.
That looked like something Kate Hudson in, like, Almost Famous.
Oh, Kate Hudson?
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, the vibe I got from it. Like, very, like, yeah, she was trying to be, like, a hippie. It was weird.
Yeah, that's the vibe she tends to go for, like, trying to do, like, the effortless, I just came off the beach, I just got off the pier kind of look, but just looks sloppy to me. Like, I hated that outfit.
No. Mm-hmm.
I'm generally not a fan of two-piece formal gowns. Like, unless it's, like, a sari.
No, me neither.
Like, a beautiful Indian sari. Other than that, like...
Yeah, that is pretty.
Wait, so I'm just jealous Vanderpump of you, Rules when Sheena got married in the two-piece crop top.
Hated it! No!
You weren't into that? No,
not into it.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Why are you wearing a belly shirt on your wedding day?
I know. In 20 years, you're looking at wedding photos.
God, yeah.
Terrible.
Time for the rose ceremony. First rose goes to Hannah G. Next rose goes to Tasia. Now, when Tasia got the second rose, Cassie and Kaylin, who are two peas in the pod, who Justine and I, you know, very much believe that they have a pact or they had some type of truce,
alliance,
something going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they were in some mess last week.
Because you hear her say
week.
That too, right?
So when Tasia got the second rose, those two girls looked at each other like in shock. Kaylin literally said, shit. And it was like they're looking at each other like, fuck, our truce, our pact is coming to an end. We thought we were going to be the final two, and now one of us is going home. Fuck. So time for the last rose. The last rose got awarded to Cassie. And in that moment, my prediction is she's probably going to win.
Cassie, you think?
I think so.
Wow.
I think so. She bitch can't do no wrong. She was
I know.
He told her last or she he was told last week that she full on was having a conversation talking about she wants to be the next bachelorette and talking all kind of mess. She hasn't said I love you. Mm-hmm. Her dad clearly don't think he should.
And he still picks her.
Keeps coming out on top. She still keeps getting roses. I think she might fucking win. She might.
That's so crazy.
Wild.
If she wins, he's the biggest idiot in the world. But he is, so she might win.
He is, yeah, that's the thing.
Everyone just watched him get played out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Cassie got the rose. Kaylin is going home. She, as she hugs Cassie goodbye, she says, "I love you. Goodbye, friend. Get engaged."
Get engaged. That was sketch.
That's very
sketchy. Like, win the game. That's, I mean, it's your life. Yeah. It's not a game. It's not like, supposed to be a game, right?
Right.
Get the prize in the end, bitch. Get that ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she probably should have said.
What I thought that was very bizarre was, like, as he was walking her out, he literally didn't say a word to her of explanation. Like, she's like, "I just..." like, crying, and he's just, like, holding her while she's crying and then just puts her in the car. Like, he didn't say a word to her. He said nothing to her.
Like, because he didn't know... Yeah, he had no explanation. Because he literally blindsided her.
It's like a mute.
I think... Mm-hmm. She was blindsided. She said, "I felt like an idiot." She's breaking down crying. He had no explanation for her. Because he don't even know... He himself doesn't even know why he's keeping Cassie around.
Why? Nope.
It's this unexplainable whatever feeling that he has for her that he just keeps her around. But he himself can't even explain... why the fuck Cassie's still here. So he really had no explanation for Kaylin, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't even try. He wasn't even like, it was just... He just like was like, "Oh, come here."
Like, what? So do any girls get pissy when they leave? Like, "Don't touch me. I, you know, like, F you."
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
Yeah. Because the guy...
You actually did?
He tries to, like... The guy always tries to, like, walk them hand in hand to the car. There's been a lot of girls who are like, you know, "Don't touch me. I don't want to hold your hand."
Yeah.
Or a lot of, I mean, most people at this point feel blindsided. So a lot of, like, "I'm blindsided. How come you didn't tell me?" Yeah.
So, question for you guys. Do you think he's going to lose his virginity next week?
No.
I don't think they're going to show it or tell us.
Well, then
I don't think so either.
We're not watching freaking HBO. I don't think they'll show it.
I wish. No. Pay-per-view. I'll buy that pay-per-view.
They're not, obviously they're not going to show it, but they're not going to tell us. Because even when we did a spinoff, Bachelor Winter Games, there was a girl, Ashley I. She's like a famous girl from Bachelor World who was infamous for being a virgin. And they had this whole build-up. She had her whole like fantasy suites thing with her guy. And in the end, they never told us. They kind of, like, kept it mum. Like, "Oh, well, we had a nice night last night." So that we never learned whether they had sex or not. So I don't
like
think they're going to tell us.
Described it, like, he said, like, in the promo for next week, he was like, "And if I do, it's going to be sweet and tender."
Yeah.
What did he say? He said something like, "And amazing for the woman."
Passionate.
And I was like,
like the best thing she's ever felt.
Yes, that's what he said.
And let me tell you something right here.
If you're...
Let me tell you something here today.
Yes.
That is not going to be the best thing she's ever felt, Colton. That is too high.
I believe that a woman virgin can have a great first sexual experience, but a man virgin who is sleeping with a woman who's slept with men is not going to be a pleasurable experience.
That's no.
There's no way.
He's going to be very anxious.
Yeah.
And insecure and nervous. Like, it's not going to be pleasant for you. And then seeing how, like, lame you are in the moment is probably not going to be the greatest thing she's ever felt, Colton. So let's manage the expectations. Bring it on in.
That's all. So he's never said he's waiting for marriage. There's no reason why he's a virgin. Okay.
Mm-mm. Waiting for the one. So yeah, that was the episode. We did get the little preview. Next week is Fantasy Suites. And is also the episode where Colton jumps the fence, which they've been teasing all season.
All season.
And allegedly it's next week. We still don't know because they keep playing that damn clip every damn episode of him jumping the fence and running away from the cameras. But allegedly it's next week. We also got a little preview of Chris Harrison saying, quote, "Up until now, nobody knew the truth." We got an image of Cassie in the back of SUV crying as if she's getting sent home. So I don't know what the fuck that's about. Like, does she have an ex-boyfriend that's going to appear? Is she going to send herself home? Becca. I think somebody might come. What the hell is Chris Harrison talking about when he said nobody knew the truth? Something's going to be revealed about somebody, and it might be Cassie.
She's a gish.
I might have to watch.
Oh, God. Something big's going to happen. So that's next week, and then Tuesday... We got back-to-back episodes, y'all. Y'all should be happy y'all don't cover The Bachelor, because this is some work.
This is a lot.
We have too many. We watch 9,700 other shows.
That's true. So you guys watch everything else.
Our card is full.
Monday's Fantasy Suites. Tuesday's The Woman Tell All. And next week we will have Ashley Spivey on the episode for Fantasy Suites. And that was the episode. Geneva and JT, what do you think? What do you think of The Bachelor?
Yeah. You know, it was painful. I'm not gonna lie to you. There was something real painful about him, particularly for me. It was difficult. I do have to give my Becky of the Week, which was Hannah B. rapping at the very end.
Yep. Universal.
Universal. Oh, I missed it.
It was extremely uncomfortable. So, like, my husband has an issue with people who, attempt to rap or sing, who are, like, not singers or rappers. Like, I've never seen someone get so visibly uncomfortable. Like, he'll literally be like, change it, immediately. Like, like panicking. It's like, I almost feel like he was in a talent show and went left or something. Like, it's like a volatile reaction. And she was so bad, it made me cringe. And the family, the dad giving the beat was like...
That's what got me, was the family's encouragement.
Oh, the family.
Of her.
Yeah.
Like, the dad was like, yeah, she raps.
Doing the beat and everything.
It was bad. Not
very bad.
It was everything that's wrong with white people in one, one setting. But I'll probably ride this season out now that I've watched two episodes. Now it's like I'm there.
Yeah. What is it? There's only four more.
Oh,
so.
God.
Only four.
I'm going to watch the only fantasy 16 hours finale. I'll commit to that.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you?
I'll definitely watch highlights. I want to watch him jump the fence. I want to see what Cassie's up to, why she's crying.
Yeah.
So,
A recap.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, guys. Everybody
thank you,
listening,
guys.
You have to go listen to Escape to Reality. Their podcast is so fucking funny. Can you guys shout out, like, your social media? Like, how can people find you? What shows are you covering currently?
Yeah. So we're currently covering Bravo once a week. So we do, like, all Bravo things in 1 week. So we talk most of the shows. Vanderpump, Beverly Hills. We're really excited for New York to come back because New York's an all-time classic. Housewives. And then we also talk Love After Lockup. So those are our two episodes we do a week. And then find us on Twitter at Escape2Pod.
We also, 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, yeah,
90
Day Fiancé.
And we're going to do Temptation Island.
We might do Temptation Island.
Temptation Island.
Yeah, so it's I guess it's like a reboot of a show that was on in like the early 2000s where they bring couples who are like in relationships to be tested by a bunch of singles like on an island. So also sounds like a recipe for disaster. So
single satiric
relationships. Yeah, so we're gonna check that out.
Jersey
and then
Shore.
More,
some
yeah, Jersey
shows.
Shore. Anything.
We
honestly.
Really have no life. We watch so much TV.
I know, we really do. Justine watches TV if she drives to work, which is super
I
safe,
do.
So.
I watch it when I drive.
Oh my God. I hear that on the podcast. You're like, yeah, I watch it as I was driving. I was like, what? How is she?
You're like
how
an hour
work?
And I just glance
she has a commute, you know? She
I have
just,
a heart
like,
attack
where
I'm almost breaking too fast and sliding into the...
God. And then we're on, last but not least, we're on Instagram at Escape to Reality Podcast. So find us on all the things, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the places.
Great. Well, rate, review, subscribe, everyone. Hit us up on Twitter, email, Facebook, Instagram, tag us in your story, all that jazz. Check us out on Spotify. Find that Bachelor list that allegedly we're on and go listen to that.
Screenshot that.
Screenshot
if
that.
You guys
that's
have
a
it,
thing and send it to us.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll be back next week for Fantasy Suites with Ashley Spivey. Yeah.
All right,
y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.